You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing our series that we've been teaching called Next Level Relationships. We're talking about taking our relationships to the next level. We want to see our relationships get better, get stronger, get healthier. We want to get along with people better. And that's what this series is all about. I love that bumper that our creative team came up with. Isn't that a great video? You know, the whole throwback to the 80s and 90s and, you know, Super Mario Brothers, that kind of thing. I grew up in that generation. And every now and then, my kids, especially my younger two, they'll get stuck on a certain level in a video game and they get frustrated. You know, nothing brings out the frustration in a kid like when they're not getting along with their video games, right? It's like the world is coming to an end, like the planet is gonna stop rotating around the sun because they can't beat this level. And they'll be like, "Dad, come help me out." And you know, they'll be surprised every now and then and impressed with my Jedi skills because they forget that I grew up in the 90s. You know, I was playing some Super Mario Brothers, some Nintendo, some Sega Genesis, and I still got some skills. And so I'll help them get past that level, right? And everything's good in the world. But here's the thing. When it comes to our relationships, as I said before, we all want to see our relationships get better, right? Get healthier. We want to see our relationships get to that next level of health. But sometimes we get stuck at a certain level. Some of you have experienced this. Some of you married people, every now and then your marriage just gets in a rut, right? You gotta find a way to rekindle the passion to get to that next level. Maybe you've been struggling to find the time to put into your friendships. You know, you've just been so busy, so overworked, and your friendships aren't going anywhere. You kind of got these acquaintances that aren't growing deeper. You want to see them get to the next level. Maybe some of you single people, you know, you're interested in being in a relationship and you've had a string of relationships that just haven't worked out so well. And you're like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's them. I don't know if it's me. Like, I've got to get a breakthrough here. Well, sometimes in order to get to the next level, you got to upgrade your skills, right? You got to upgrade your skills. And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a skill that has the potential to really impact our relationships. And I want to talk to you about communication. I want to talk to you about communication. I know this is something we all need to get better at. And I believe that there are a few topics that we could talk about that have more capacity to impact the health of our relationships than our communication. And in a sense, communication is the relationship. We might say as the communication goes, so goes the relationship, right? It's that important. It says something about the health of your relationship, any relationship. Have you ever experienced this? Maybe you've been on the train or you've been at a restaurant or a cafe and you overheard someone's conversation. You weren't eavesdropping, but you could hear their conversation and it told you a lot about their relationship. Just hearing their conversation, right? Maybe you heard two people talking and you could sense frustration in their tone and they were being short with each other. And even though you don't know anything about them, you know things aren't so great in their relationship, right? Or maybe you sat next to two people who were talking and there was warmth, right? There was a sense of affirmation in the conversation and there was laughter. Come on, a sense of humor is always a good sign in a relationship. And you could tell things are good in that relationship. Or maybe you've experienced this. You've seen two people sitting there and just looking down the whole time at the table, looking at their phones, and there's no conversation at all. Like you can tell they've lost their spark, right? They're not even talking to each other anymore. It's amazing what you can learn about the quality and the health of a relationship just by the conversation. So if we want to get better at relationships, if we want to see our relationships go to the next level, then we've got to get better at this communication thing. Because communication, it's a gauge that we have to pay attention to for the health of our relationships. And it's something that if we get better at it, it'll make our relationships better and more healthy. Now today, I get to preach with an extra dose of humility because I'm growing in this area just like all of you. Come on. Most of you know I'm preaching to myself every Sunday, but especially this Sunday, we're all on a journey to get better at this. This is an area where we all have room for improvement. And I want us to look at a powerful passage of scripture. It comes from the book of James, chapter 1. The apostle James writes about this very subject of communication. In just a moment, we're going to look at some principles from this passage that's going to help us be better communicators, get better at communication. So here we go, James chapter 1, and the Apostle James, this book of James, he just gives pure wisdom, just spiritual wisdom for everyday life, and that's what he does in this passage here, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this," and I want to encourage you to do that today. Take some notes, lean in today, let's be listening. James, what do you have to say to us? "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Look at verse 20. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It's a powerful scripture. We've got to be slow to speak. We've got to be, quick to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Here's why. Because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. We might apply it this way. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires for our relationships. We want to honor him in our relationships. So I want to give you three principles for better communication today. I want to invite you to take some notes today. Take out the note sheet you received when you came in. If you got the Redemption app, you can open that up. There's a spot where you can jot down some notes. But we want to become better communicators because we want to see our relationships be healthy and go to the next level. You ready to go? Here we go. Here's the first principle for being a better communicator. Number one, become a good listener. You want to be a better communicator? You got to become a better listener. Look at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, what does that mean? Quick to listen. That really doesn't even make sense, right? How are you quick to listen? Well, James is using a wordplay here because he wants to make a point to us, right? You got to prioritize your listening. If you want your relationships to get better, you want to honor God better in your relationships and your communication, then it starts by being a good listener. Prioritize your listening. We're always tempted to do the opposite, right? Our tendency is to do the opposite. We're quick to speak and we're slow to listen. We're quick to let people hear what we think, our opinion, to speak our mind, and we're slow to be good listeners. And James is saying, no, you got to flip that thing around. You got to prioritize being a good listener. See, listening is probably the most important skill that any one of us could perfect if we want to build more healthy relationships. Because you can't love people if you don't listen to people. How can you love someone unless you really get to know them, their heart, what's going on inside of them, what they're thinking, what they're feeling? So if we want to get better at relationships, we got to get better at listening. Now, I want to give you a few tips here, okay, on how to be a good listener. This could just be some real practical advice today, just practical advice from the wisdom of Scripture. How to be a good listener. Number one, listen with empathy. Everybody say empathy. Listen with empathy. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing somebody and really listening to someone? Like you can be in a conversation where you hear the person, but you're not really listening, right? My wife, it drives her crazy when she tries to talk to me while I'm watching sports or a TV, because like guys, we're like cavemen in front of a fire when a TV is on, right? She's trying to talk to me and I'm like, yes, dear. Yes, honey. Love you too. Sure. Whatever you say. And she's like, okay, so you got that? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again? And she's ready to like poison my dinner that night, right? Like it drives her crazy because I'm listening, but I'm not really hearing her. Like I'm hearing her, but I'm not really listening to what she's saying. And so we got to learn to listen with some empathy. Listening with empathy, it involves understanding the heart. It involves understanding the emotions. It involves sometimes hearing what the person's not saying, really listening to what's going on with that person. And here's something I'm learning that's really helped me out, and I think this will help you out. I'm learning to really recognize that what the other person is feeling is their reality, even if I'm not feeling the same thing. I'm learning to really recognize what the other person I'm talking to is feeling, even if I'm not feeling the same thing. That their thoughts and their feelings is as much reality as my thoughts and my feelings. How many of you know that your thoughts and your feelings are always reality for you? Isn't that true? Hello, newsflash, that's true for the other person as well. What they're thinking about the situation, what they're feeling about the situation is always reality for them. And it's really powerful when you can come to that recognition. Now, let me just say something really quick here, okay, that's gonna help us out, especially across genders here, because women and men, we tend to verbalize and communicate a little differently, and we need some help in this area because men tend to be like problem solvers and fixers, and women tend to be venters, right? So what happens is, ladies, you know, sometimes you'll come to us, this will help you, especially if you're in a relationship, you'll come to us and you'll begin to want to share what's going on the inside of you, because you got all these emotions going on the inside of you, right? All these things that you're feeling, all these feelings that are bubbling up. Do you want to know what's going on inside of men most days? Nothing. It's absolutely flat. There's nothing. It's just dead silence. But you got all these things going on inside of you that you need to get out, right? And so you start talking to us, you start venting those emotions. And guys, we're fixers. So we think we're listening. listening, but the whole time we're calculating how we can help you. We're problem solving. We've got this amazing solution to your problem. And if you would just be quiet for just a moment and give us a chance to speak, we're going to share with you from the depths of our wisdom just how exactly we can solve your problem. And what happens is, ladies, when you get a chance, when you stop talking for a minute and the guy in your life starts trying to solve your problems, you're like, but you're not even listening to me. And he's completely shocked because he's like, of course I'm listening and I have great wisdom for you. I've had great solution. You're like, no, I just want you to listen and understand what's going on inside of me. That's because, guys, she's venting and you're trying to solve problems and it doesn't work that way. And so, ladies, you got to give us grace, okay? Because this is really confusing for us. Because when we go to share our problems with somebody else, a man or a woman, it's because we want some advice on how to solve the problem. Not because we just want to get it out there, but ladies just want to be heard and understood, right, ladies? So you got to pray for us. You got to give us grace. We're going to get there eventually. So you got to be mindful of that because sometimes, especially the women in your life just need to just want to be heard. They want you to understand and affirm what they're feeling. But something powerful happens when you come to the mature perspective that what's going on inside of the other person is their reality. That takes maturity, doesn't it? None of us are born with that. You know, as a child, like your inner reality is like the reality of the planet, right? And as you grow up, you begin to realize that the world doesn't quite revolve around you and what other people think and feel and their opinions actually matter. Well, we have some room to continue maturing in this area. And if you can get a breakthrough in this area to realize, even if the other person isn't feeling the same, what I'm feeling, even if I don't necessarily agree with them or where they're coming from, that's their reality. What they're thinking and feeling is their reality. If you'll meet them there, that's listening with empathy. So at its heart, listening with empathy is simply putting yourself in the other person's place. You'll get a breakthrough in your communication and the way you listen if you'll learn to listen with your heart and listen with empathy. Here's the second thing. We're talking about how to be a good listener. Number two, listen to understand. Listen to understand. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says this, to answer before listening, this is folly and shame. There's some wisdom from the Bible, right? I've discovered that to be true in my life. To answer before listening, this is folly and shame. You know, I read a quote years ago that stuck with me that comes back to my remembrance quite often, and it's simply this, listen to understand, not to respond. Listen to understand, not to respond. Have you ever been in a conversation, particularly an argument, where you were saying something and the other person was responding to you and you felt like they were responding to things you didn't even say? And you got really frustrated because halfway through the argument, you're like, are we even arguing about the same thing? Are we even talking about the same topic? It's like we're speaking, you know, two different languages. Como se dice, speak the same language as me, right? Come on. It's like we're speaking two different languages. And you know why that happens? It's because we don't listen to understand, we listen to respond. What happens is as you're saying what you're saying, the other person's already formulating their response in their head. They're formulating their response, their explanation, their defense, their side of the story. So you're talking, but they've already tuned out your response and they're not hearing the context of everything else you have to say. So by the time it's their chance to speak, they're answering and saying something that has nothing to do with what you said. And here's the truth, we do that to other people all the time, don't we? We listen to respond, not to understand. And if we could just get a hold of this thing of listening to really understand, you know what I'm literally learning to do? To bite my tongue. Literally, physically, I bite my tongue sometimes. And I'm like, I need to wait at least another 30 seconds and really just listen to what the other person is saying so I can be a better understander, right? So I can really understand where the other person's coming from. Let me give you another tip that'll really help you to listen to understand. Ask better questions. Be somebody who asks better questions. We don't always think about that in a conversation, right? We're so quick to throw in our advice, our thought, our opinion, our defense, our explanation. But what if you stopped and you asked better questions to where you could really understand where the other person was coming from? You ever notice that Jesus did this all the time? You ever read the Gospels? Like Jesus, he always asked good questions in good rabbi fashion. A lot of times he answered a question with a question, right? Well, what do you see in Scripture? What do you see? Who do you say I am? What do you think, right? Yeah, he understood because he wanted to understand what was going on inside of people. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, we read about the healing of a blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And number one, Jesus was in the midst of a crowd of people and this man started crying out to him, son of David, have mercy on me. There was crowds of people around Jesus and yet Jesus was tuned in to hear this man. And then he comes up to Jesus and he asks him a question that seems kind of, you know, puzzling and curious to us. Like, what do you want me to do for you? We're kind of like, well, hello, Jesus. Like he wants you to heal him. He's blind, right? But Jesus had this way of tuning in to what was going on inside of people, inside of people's hearts, right? He wanted to feel what people were feeling. And so when we fail we fail when we try to heal people before hearing people. We fail when we try to heal people before healing people. You got to hear what's going on with somebody. You want to help somebody? You want to bring healing to somebody? You want to speak wisdom into the situation? Double down on your listening. Listen to understand. Ask some good questions so you can really understand what's going on with that person. Let me just give you just another practical application here, okay? Sometimes you even want to phrase back to the person what they're saying to you. Little communication coaching here. Little like, I heard you say this. Did I hear you right? And sometimes you're going to find out you didn't hear them right. Like you heard it through your lens or through your hurt or through your disappointment, and you heard something they weren't even saying. Give them a chance to clarify, like, is this what you're saying? So at least you're having a discussion about the same thing. You're speaking the same language. You're talking about the same thing. Ask good questions. Listen, if you want to get better at communication, there's no better place to start than with this wisdom that the Apostle James has given us. And that is start with being quick to listen, be a good listener. Here's the second thing. We're talking about some principles to help us get better at communication. Because if you want to see your relationships get better, there's probably nothing better you could do than to get a breakthrough in your communication. Number two is this second principle. Choose your words carefully. Choose your words carefully. Look at verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. What does that mean, slow to speak? Well, first of all, we already know we're going to be quick to listen, right? We're going to prioritize our listening. We're going to listen with empathy. We're going to listen to understand so that we better understand where that person is coming from before we speak. And second of all, we're going to be slow to speak because if you speak too quickly, you might say something you regret. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This is called reaction regret, right? Like we reacted too soon and now we regret what we said. Have you ever had a moment where like you said something and the minute the words came out of your mouth, like the moment the words came out of your mouth, you wish you could take them and put them back in your mouth, but it's too late. You've already said it, right? Like you were thinking it, you were feeling it. You probably knew you shouldn't say it. You were trying to have some self-control, but you lost it for a moment and you said something that you should not have said. And now it's too late to take it back. The words are out there. And you got some regrets already that you said that you reacted that way. So we want to be slow to speak. Slow to speak is the time that you need to say it right. It's the difference between saying it wrong and saying it right. Slow to speak is the difference between saying something helpful and saying something harmful. So we want to be quick to listen, slow to speak. So now when you do speak, you've taken the time to better understand that person and to get control of yourself. You can do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can choose to do this. We can choose our words carefully. Let me give you some practical wisdom on this as well. Choosing your words carefully. Number one, you can choose to diffuse a tense situation with your words. We're talking about the power of choice here. You know, so many times we make excuses for our bad communication. We make excuses for how we lost our temper, for what we said. We blame it on the other person. Well, Pastor Jeremy, if you only knew what the other person was like, if you only knew what they said to me, you know, if you only understood how I was brought up, how we talked to each other, it's not my fault. No. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can make some choices that'll change our relationships. We can make some choices with the help of the Holy Spirit about how we're going to communicate, right? So we can choose to diffuse a tense situation with our words. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Isn't that just true? It's a gentle word. A gentle response can turn away wrath, but a harsh word only stirs up anger. This is literally like you can defuse a bomb, right? It's like a time bomb is ticking. You ever see this in the movies, right? Where somebody's working under pressure to like defuse a bomb. You and I, we can literally defuse that bomb. We can suck all of the oxygen that's about to feed that fire and keep it from exploding by simply speaking a gentle word, by choosing to speak a gentle word instead of a harsh word. Because arguments tend to escalate, don't they? Arguments tend to escalate. You raise your voice, I raise my voice, right? You start shouting, I shout back. You say an insult, I insult you back better. I clap back at you even better. That's how arguments tend to work, right? And at some point in time, somebody's got to choose to de-escalate the argument. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, why don't you be that someone? We can make the choice to defuse the tension in a conversation that's leading into an unhealthy direction that's going to cause us to say or do something we're going to regret later on. So at some point in time, we have to practice some self-control. And can I tell you that the Holy Spirit often brings this verse, he drops this verse in my heart, like in the moment. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Because I grew up in a family of escalators. Anybody like me, you grew up in a family where things escalated? I'm one of four boys. I learned very early on in life how to defend myself, right? You gotta speak up. My parents are leaders. My dad's a pastor, my mom's a principal. We were raised with a lot of firepower, a lot of leadership. You know, we had enough chiefs and not enough Indians in my house, if you know what I'm saying, right? When we get together for holidays, the conversation can go from 0 to 100 really fast because everybody's leaders in the house. Everybody's got an opinion, a well-articulated opinion, right? And so we can escalate quickly. And so sometimes when I'm in a conversation in some aggressive negotiations with my wife, and I have not yet seen the light yet to realize that she is right, I'm gonna get there eventually, I can begin to escalate the conversation in an unhealthy way. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will literally bring this verse back to my remembrance to help me calm down. Because speaking a gentle word can defuse a situation. It's amazing how a well-timed, gentle word can completely change a conversation, right? Completely change a conversation, can calm things down, can take the tension out of the conversation, can cause a conversation from going in a toxic direction and begin to bring it in a healthy direction. It's an amazing thing. Here's the second thing you can choose to do. If we're gonna choose to choose our words carefully, you can choose to speak words of healing. Your words are powerful. And you can choose, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak words of healing. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. How many of you know that's true? You know that scripture. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And you can choose how you're going to use it. Never underestimate the power of your words. You know, whoever said that saying that we grew up saying on the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. They weren't telling the truth, were they? How many of you know they were lying? Because words are powerful and they can inflict damage. In just a moment, just an instant, you can say a hurtful word that sticks with somebody for a long time. In just a moment, somebody can speak a hurtful word over you that comes back to you and it sticks with you. For some of you, you had a hurtful word spoken over you as a child. Maybe you had a teacher that said something about you that made you feel like you weren't smart, made you feel like you were dumb. Maybe you had parents or an authority figure in your life who used toxic words. And even right now, all these years later, those words are still fresh for you. It's like they were spoken to you yesterday. Why is that? Because words are powerful. The power of life and death is in the tongue. I read a story a while back that really stuck with me and really touched me. Is the story of a girl named Marianne Bird. She was born in Brooklyn in 1928. She was born with a severe cleft palate, had to have several surgeries, and couldn't do things that normal kids could do. She couldn't blow up a balloon or drink from a water fountain. And what was worse than the psychological damage was the psychological damage that occurred because she was teased mercilessly by her classmates. To make matters worse, she was deaf in one ear, and she dreaded every year the hearing test, the annual hearing test in school. Now, back in the day, in the early 1900s, they weren't that technologically sophisticated, so the teacher would do a simple whisper test. What would happen is the teacher would call the student up to the front of the room and would whisper, have them cover one ear and whisper a phrase in their one ear, and they would have to repeat it back, right? And they'd have to do it in both ears, and if they could repeat the phrase back, then they passed the hearing test. Well, Marianne Bird, she dreaded the humiliation of failing this test every year, so she would actually try to cheat. She would try to cup her hand around her one good ear so that when the teacher spoke into her bad ear, she would hear and not fail. Well, everything changed one year when she had the most beloved teacher in the school, a teacher named Mrs. Leonard, a teacher that all the students loved. And Miss Leonard did something different that changed her life. That year, instead of having Marianne come up and speak into her bad ear, she pulled Marianne close to her across the desk and she spoke 7 words into her good ear that changed her life. And here's what she said to her. She said, I wish you were my daughter. I wish you were my daughter. And Marianne Bird said it was like God put those words in her mouth, words that I had waited for my whole life to hear, and it changed the way she saw herself. It brought healing to her heart and made a huge difference in her life. Listen to me. The power of life and death is in the tongue. You can be someone who speaks words of life, or you can be someone who speaks toxic words, and it can happen in an instant. And you know, I'm telling you, this lands on me really challenging today because I stand up and I have the responsibility of preaching the word of God to people, right? I have the privilege of speaking words of grace and healing and words of life over people. And you know what? I'm just like you. I can struggle sometimes. I can lose my temper with my kids, with my family, and I can say things that I regret saying. And every now and then, I'm so convicted that God's given me the privilege and the gift of speaking words of life, and I don't always use my words that way. I don't know about you. I want to be somebody who speaks words of life. You know, James, in the book of James, he says that how can salt water flow from a freshwater spring, right? I want to be somebody who speaks words of life, words of healing. I recognize that my words have power, and I want to speak words that call forth the best in people. Come on, I don't want to just play defense and not curse at people and not use harsh language. No, I want to play offense, and I actually want to speak words of life that can heal people, that can shift people into a new reality. I want to treat them as God sees them. Come on, you know God's given you the ability to do that. There's power in your words, and so we can choose to speak words of life. Here's the third thing. We're talking about some principles that are going to help us become better communicators. Because if you want to get better in your relationships, then work on your communication. There's nothing that'll have a greater impact in your relationships than your communication. Here's the third idea. Control your emotions. Control your emotions. James goes on to say this. Verse 19, be careful to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Don't we reverse that order? Don't we so quickly speak our minds? Don't we so quickly lose our temper? Aren't we so quick to let somebody have it? Come on, aren't we so fast to let somebody know what we really think about them, to defend ourselves and to tell the other person all the reasons they're wrong? We get this order mixed up, don't we? But we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And notice this, if you'll get the first two right, the third will come a lot easier. Hey, let's just be honest this morning. This isn't easy, right? There's nothing easy about this stuff. But can I just tell you, if you can just get victory in one area, it'll start to snowball. The Holy Spirit will help you with this. There's a snowball effect. If you can just start with learning to be quick to listen, be a better listener. Be a better listener. Listen with compassion. Listen with empathy. Ask better questions. Watch how that'll lead you to choosing your words more carefully, to speaking better. And once you do that, you'll find that you're a lot slower to get angry. You'll be a lot slower to get angry. You'll get better control over your emotions. So just get victory in one area and watch how it begins to snowball and help you with all three. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. How many of you know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control? One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. He will help you control your emotions. This past week, our new community pastor, Pastor Danya, that has a nice ring to it. She shared an article on social media from Lisa Turkhurst from Proverbs 31 Ministries. And it was an article, three questions you must ask before reacting. And I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm preaching on. She had some of the same verses I was using and everything. And I'm like, I'm going to share that this Sunday. So let me share this with you from Lisa Turkhurst, three questions you should ask before reacting. And let me say this to you. These would be particularly valuable if you have a difficult conversation that you know is on the horizon. Let's say in the workplace with somebody you work with, or if you're a manager, or you need to go in and have a difficult conversation with your manager or coworker. Man, if you can meditate on these questions beforehand, really helpful. If you're in a relationship with someone, a significant other, or it could just be your parent or a sibling or a child, whatever, and you know you're overdue for a conversation, meditate on these three questions first and see how they make a difference in that conversation. Here's the first one. Number one, ask yourself this question. What part of the issue can I own and apologize for? That's a powerful question, isn't it? What part of the issue can I own and apologize for? What would happen if you could recognize this and meditate on that question before you went into that conversation? Here's the thing. If we can all just be honest and we can all just be a little humble, we can recognize there's probably something in the issue. There's probably somewhere in the relationship where we could have done better. What would happen if instead of going into that conversation with your side of the story, instead of going into that conversation just ready to annihilate the other person, to retaliate and defend yourself, if you went into that conversation ready and willing to lead with your apology, how would that change things? Come on, we so easily go into the conversation ready to stake our ground, ready to let the other person have it, right? But what would happen if you just let out front and you were just very aware of what you could have done better? It would change the way the conversation would go, wouldn't it? Here's the second thing. Number two, how can I soften my heart toward this person so I honor them despite how they react? Wow. How can I soften my heart toward this person, right? Especially this difficult person. Pastor Jeremy, if you only knew what they were really like, I could soften my heart toward them if they would be a little more agreeable, if they'd be willing to meet me halfway, if they weren't such a jerk. Pastor, what happens is I want to go into this conversation and speak gently, but somewhere in the middle of the conversation, I want to slap that person. That's what happens. Anybody ever have the spirit of slap come over you? That comes over me. Like, I want to say something gentle, and halfway through the conversation, I'd rather just slap the person. That would feel better because it's not easy for me to soften my heart toward them. And they probably want to slap you. That's the truth. But here's the thing. If we would all just humble our hearts for a moment and recognize that most people that we're dealing with, they have some hurt, don't they? Like, hurt people hurt people. The reason that person is difficult is probably because they got hurt at some point in time in life. And probably they got hurt long before they ever met you. Probably very little of it has anything to do with you. And if you would recognize that, you could have compassion for that person, even that person who's not easy to have compassion for. Now, some people, as you begin to examine your heart, you'll recognize that some of the hurt they're experiencing is because of you, especially in your close relationships. Something you said, something you did or didn't do disappointed them and hurt them. If you would recognize that that person is just a human being and they're hurt, you could have a lot more compassion for them no matter how they react, because you can't handle how they react. How many of you have discovered that despite your best efforts, despite your kindest and gentlest words, you can't control how the other person is going to respond? So here's the thing. If you would humble your heart, it would change things and recognize that that person's probably hurt. You know, I had a lady who very early on in our church, when our church was brand new, she came here, strange person. She was a very hurt person. In fact, she came from another church. I knew her pastor and I knew she had a lot of baggage. She was hurt. She didn't last here long. She left here hurt. Wasn't a big surprise. She had done that at every other church she had been at. Well, about 2 years later, this lady out of nowhere sent me the nastiest email. I mean, I hadn't heard from her in like 2 years, and you would have thought whatever happened like yesterday. She just blasted. Let me have it. You're what's wrong with this world. It's pastors like you who mess things up. I mean, she let me know what she thought about me in like a very long email. And can I just be honest with you? I didn't let it get to me at all, because truthfully, I recognize this is a really hurt woman. I recognize that whatever happened to this lady happened long before she ever met me. To think that 2 years later, this lady would turn around and write me an email like this and just ream me out. I recognize this is a really hurt person. And honestly, more than feeling defensive and sorry for myself, I felt compassion for her, because I recognized she was just a hurt person. How would it change things, right? If we would just look at people and know every human being's got something, we're all broken, none of us are perfect, that person's carrying around hurts in their heart. I had a conversation like that recently where I recognized the hurt was really more about that person than it was about me. And it helped me to have compassion for that person. It would change the way the conversation would go, wouldn't it? And here's the third one. Here's a really great question to ask yourself. If I knew this conversation was being recorded and then shared with people I greatly respect, how would this change my reaction? How would that change things, right? What if we played your most recent argument on the big screen this morning, you know, for everyone to give their opinion on how you handled the situation? How many of you would like that? I'm gonna put my hand down, because I would not want that to happen, right? None of us would want that. None of us would want probably our most recent tense conversation to be played on the big screen. It would change things, right? If you knew we were gonna play your most recent argument on the big screen. And by the way, all of you husbands out there, can I just give you a little help today? I saw a meme that helped me recently, and I wanna give you some husbandly wisdom. Every time you talk to your wife, you should always remind yourself, this conversation will be recorded for training and quality purposes. Okay, guys? Husbands, just take note of that. Your wives are like, take a picture of that. You need to remember that meme. And my wife's going to go back to me and say, play the podcast to yourself again, Pastor. Preach to yourself. But here's the thing. We can laugh at this, right? We can laugh about this. And none of us would want our tense conversation, probably our most recent argument, to be played on the big screen in front of people. But here's what really cuts to the heart when you think about it. Jesus was present in every one of those conversations. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And when I stop and think about that, it's so convicting, because I think about how many things have I said that probably grieved the Holy Spirit? How many things have we all said in a moment of anger, in a moment of losing our temper, in a moment where we weren't listening, in a moment where we weren't having compassion, in a moment where we weren't recognizing what was happening inside of the other person? We said something that grieved our Lord, because he was present there. You know, Paul says in Philippians, like, be gentle with each other, for the Lord is near. He's close. He was there. He's in every conversation. And I don't know about you. I want to change this. I want to get better at this with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, if you want to get better at your relationships, you want to see your relationships go to the next level of health, you have to get better at this communication thing. As the communication goes, so goes the relationship. The communication, the quality and health of the conversation is the quality and health of the relationship, because it's not only a gauge that we monitor, but it's something that we can influence and we can change. We can make this better. As our communication gets better, the relationship gets better. And if the communication isn't healthy, the relationship isn't healthy. And this is so much more than just a few tips on how to get better today. Relationship coaching. Yes, this is pure wisdom from the Word of God, but this is a spiritual thing. This is about our hearts. Because here's what James goes on to say. In verse 19, he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. But look at verse 20. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Your human anger, it doesn't produce righteousness. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time your anger produced righteousness? I asked myself this question prayerfully as I reflected and prepared for this message. Can I tell you, very few times has my anger produced the righteousness of God. Oh, there's room for righteous anger. Oh, don't get me wrong. But it's slim if we're honest for most of us. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing about human righteousness, right? Because we want to produce the righteousness of God. But what happens is our arguments tend to produce human righteousness. You know what human righteousness is? Human righteousness is you being right. It's not rocket science. Human righteousness is your opinion, your side of the story, your explanation, what you think about it, why that person's wrong and why you are right. And if you get things right in the human righteousness category, congratulations, it just means you're right. It just means you're right. But don't confuse that with the righteousness of God. Don't confuse that with the righteousness of God, because the righteousness of God is about your heart. It's about your heart toward your heavenly Father and your heart toward that person, because God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to restore your relationship with the Father so that you could experience vertical reconciliation, but he also sent his Son that you could experience horizontal reconciliation, healing and peace and wholeness in your human relationships. God said, how can you say that you love God the Father when you can't even love your brother who you can see with your own eyes? Are you with me? See, God is more interested in us being right with each other. I think God is saying, stop being so worried about being right at each other and start being right with each other. Because our focus is always on why I'm right, why they're wrong. If they could just see it from my point of view, they would just stop doing that thing and start seeing things the way I see things. And sometimes we're satisfied to just be right with our own human righteousness. But here's the deal. You can be right and be wrong in your heart toward your brother or sister. You can be right and lose the relationship. You can win the argument and lose the relationship. You can win the argument and lose your marriage, can't you? You can be right in your own mind. You can walk away satisfied that you got your point across, but you spoke toxic words, hurtful words. You're not right with your brother or sister, your friend, your spouse, whoever it is. And God's more interested in the condition of our hearts, getting the gospel into our hearts, getting the gospel into our relationships. Remember, this whole series has been about us getting a greater understanding of how well we've been loved, how merciful God has been to us, how gentle God has been to us, how forgiving God has been to us. And God is interested in that, changing our hearts at such a deep level that it spills over into our relationships. It impacts the way we speak to each other so that our concern becomes God's concern, that we're right with each other, that I am going to prioritize being right with you more than I am being right at you. I'm going to be more concerned with my relationship with you being intact, being whole as best I can, than I am just about being right. How would that change your conversations if you approach your communication that way? How would that change things with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your spouse, with whoever? It would make a huge difference, wouldn't it? And so that's our prayer. God, help us. God, help us. We want to be those who speak words of life, those who speak words of healing. God, we want to get the gospel into our communication. I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to pray into this, and we're going to do two things. I want us to pray two things. First of all, I really believe there are some people you need to experience some healing in your heart. You had some hurtful words that were spoken over you, and you need to experience some healing in your heart. Second of all, we want to be those who can speak words of life. Come on, we don't just avoid saying things we shouldn't say. We don't just avoid losing our temper and saying harmful words, but we want to go a step beyond that. God, make me somebody who speaks words of life. The Apostle James says in James chapter 3, he says, how can salt water come from a freshwater spring? This cannot be so, right? Come on, God has called us to be people who speak words of life. I don't know about you, that's what I want coming out of me. That's what I want coming out of me to my family, to my friends, to those who I agree with, those I don't agree with, those who are easy to love and those who are difficult to love. I want words of life coming out of my heart. So would you pray with me this morning? Let's make this personal. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for the wisdom and the power and the grace of your word that speaks to our hearts today. And Father, first of all, we want to open our hearts today and ask for your healing. Father, I know there are people in this room, they had hurtful words spoken over them. Maybe words spoken when they were a child. Maybe words spoken recently that have left wounds and scars in their heart. Maybe even shaped their identity. Father, today we ask that above all else, we would hear your voice above every other voice in our lives. That as we sang about before, God, we would know who we are in you, dearly loved, accepted as sons and daughters. Father, right now, I speak words of healing over people's hearts today. We let go of that hurt today, God. We receive your healing in our hearts today. We choose to believe that we are who you've said we are. Now, Father, today we want to be those who speak words of life. Father, those who can communicate with grace and love and understanding and forgiveness as you have done for us, God, may we do so for others. Father, we're asking you to help us do it. Holy Spirit, to give us self-control. Father, where we can't change on our own, we yield to you today. We say, not our will be done, but your will be done. Father, put your heart inside of us. Holy Spirit, help us to be those who speak words of life. Jesus, would you do it in us? Would you pray that with me? Jesus, do it in me. I receive it in Jesus' name. If you believe that, would you say amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.